Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen wishing you all a happy Friday on this 15th day of January, 2021. And I just want to say that I am thrilled to have back on the program for the first time since November 24th, 2009. It's been 12 years since I've had my guest on today, and I'm thrilled to have him back. He is the backbone of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. He is the man behind the scenes that keeps things running. Without this man, the program could not exist. And I'm speaking of my webmaster, Eric Nielsen. And Eric has faithfully served Christ Church, not only as my webmaster, but as an elder in a biblically sound church. And I have long been wanting him to return, but because of his busy schedule, we were just not able to do it until now, and I'm so thrilled to have him back on the program to discuss sermons are not for spectators, glorifying God by hearing his word. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Eric Nielsen.
Thank you, Chris. I'm glad to be here.
And I'm going to give our listeners our email address right away. It is chrisarnzen@gmail.com if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And usually we only have first-time guests provide a summary of their testimony of salvation, which would include the religious atmosphere, if any, they were raised in, and the kinds of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. But since it's been so many years since Eric has been on the program, I think it would be a good idea for him to repeat a summary of his salvation testimony so that our listeners will be more familiar with him. And Eric, if you could, tell us about your story.
Sure. I was blessed to grow up in a Christian family and was part of a church growing up. The church I was in, however, I don't know that there was ever really an explicit teaching or explicit invitation to believe the gospel. I'm sure the gospel was preached, and I think probably it was my own disinterest in spiritual things that caused me not to hear and understand for many years. But when I entered my teen years, I rejected the teaching that I had as a child, and sought after things like the occult. I collected a number of books on occult practices and spent my time reading those, and had like many teens, had a stash of pornography that my parents didn't know about. But at some point, close to my 15th birthday, 16th birthday, somewhere around there, I just felt like that was completely empty and felt like those things were leading me down a wrong path. I think the Lord was drawing me to himself at that time. So I took all of those things and I burned them. And soon afterwards, I had the opportunity to go to a Christian concert a number of hours away. I was sort of chasing after a young woman that I was interested in, but there was a Christian comedian named Mike Warnke.
I remember Mike Warnke. I saw him when I was a very new Christian at a very, very charismatic church on Long Island, New York.
Yeah, I mean, he was very big in contemporary Christian circles and sold a lot of albums, and I was thrilled to see this guy, and was moved by the testimony that he gave of having come through a satanic cult. That story of Mike Warnke's was made out of whole cloth. It turns out that nothing that he said about that is true, and it's well documented, and Mike sort of lost his standing and market share in the Christian community. But nonetheless, God draws a straight line with a crooked stick, and through Mike Warnke, I heard my first really solid presentation of the gospel that I understood. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, not that day, but through his ministry and listening to some other things that he did later on. That's how I came to faith in Christ. Just fast forwarding a bit, often you will ask how people come to believe in the doctrines of grace. And so, as far as that's concerned in my life, I think we have our mutual friend, Dr. James White, to blame for that. Was interested in apologetics. This was a number of years later, after I had met and married my wife, and we were living on our own. I was trying to start an apologetics ministry online of my own, and ran into Dr. James White. Earlier on in my Christian life, I had met a number of Calvinists online, and so I was shocked when I went to James White's chat channel and found that it was full of Calvinists, because I knew from my previous experience that Calvinists were jerks. And
whatever dissuaded you from that truth?
Well, maybe I've just learned to deal with the jerks and have come to accept who I am as well. I started looking into Calvinism and what exactly are these 5 points of Calvinism, and I realized that actually, aside from the fact that I thought Calvinists were jerks, I realized that they believed pretty much everything that I already had come to believe through my own reading of Scripture, in particular the Gospel of John, I wasn't too sure about that limited atonement thing, but that was about the time that James was writing The Potter's Freedom, and so I picked up Norm Geisler's Chosen But Free, and actually Chosen But Free was what kind of pushed me over the edge. I compared the exegesis of Scripture that I was seeing in James and other Calvinists, and the the comparatively poor exegesis that I was seeing in Chosen But Free. And so I realized that was the main thing that changed my mind. I realized one side of the argument could preach through places like Romans chapter 9 in a consistent way to the way that they preach the rest of the book, and I saw that was not the case for Geistler's side. So that is how I came to the understanding and appreciating the doctrines of grace.
Wow, that seems, even though it's not, it seems so recent, because I remember when I was working for Calvary Press part-time, before I had my own radio show, and I was still an account executive at WMCA Radio, and although I was filling in on occasion for Andy Anderson, the late Andy Anderson, who was our in-house talk show host at WMCA, an affiliate of the Salem Media Corporation, the largest Christian radio network in the world. Although I was filling in for Andy and booking many guests for him, I had not yet launched my own show, but I could still remember as if it was yesterday, being all excited that Calvary Press was publishing this book by Dr. James R. White, The Potter's Freedom, A Defense of the Reformation and Rebuttal to Norman Geisler's Chosen But Free. And I think that was the first Calvary Press book that they published by James. And man, I can't believe it was that long ago and that you were still an Arminian initially when that came out.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
And you are the third webmaster for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And no one listening will ever know the depth of my gratitude to you and to God for you, for all that you do for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Folks like you never get the credit due them or the honor and respect due them. And I just remembered that it was truly an answer to prayer when my second webmaster had to resign from that very important volunteer position because of a serious health problem he had with one of his adopted children, and that child subsequently died from a very rare illness, and it was quite a tragedy. And very quickly, the Lord brought you into the picture, volunteering to be my third and thankfully still current webmaster. And I just want to thank God for you again, and thank you personally for jumping at the opportunity to be such a crucial part of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. How did you even discover Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? I'm assuming it was through James White somehow.
Yeah, it was through James White. Actually, I think I was a listener to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio from the very beginning when you started the program in New York. I remember that.
Oh, you definitely were, because, well, I know that you were listening back then because you were a guest back then. That was the last time you were on, was 2009.
Sure. That was a little further on, though. Early on when you got started.
Yeah, that was 4 years after we started.
I think it was James Swan. Wasn't he your webmaster?
He was the initial webmaster, yes.
Yeah, and so it was actually me and there was another fellow. I forget his name for the time being, but we actually set up things so that Iron Sharpens Iron would be recorded each day automatically, and then we gave those. Those MP3s to James, and he would put them up.
That's right. You know, I had forgotten about that. That's right. James White and Alpha and Omega Ministries were responsible for recording all of our shows initially.
Right, yeah. So that's how I started listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and how I got involved initially.
Yeah, that's why the very first year when we were not doing that, thankfully, I had saved, and I probably tried to save all of the cassette tapes of the recordings of the live broadcasts that were going on in the first year, but I lost the vast majority of those tapes. I think I lost them when I lost access to a storage locker due to a delinquent bill back in some very trying days. And thankfully, though, I had saved, through God's providence, a couple of crucial ones, like my interview with Dr. R.C. Sproul and Dr. John MacArthur, who I think I interviewed even before Dr. Sproul. And you have those archived on the, what do we call those on the website?
What are we calling them now?
The greatest hits or something? I can't.
Blast. I think we're calling them Blast from the Past.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, they're unfortunately that I haven't had the time that I would like to have with all of your shows that we have MP3s for are on the website, but unfortunately not all of them are available through the podcast. So that's one of my goals is to hopefully release those little by little so that everybody will have access to some of those older shows, because there's a lot of good stuff that you did.
I'm wondering how often I would recoil in horror hearing some of those older shows. Like, Erica, can you get that off the website, please? But you have chosen a subject today that is, I think, a rarely addressed subject and a vitally needed subject to address, and that is, sermons are not for spectators, glorifying God by hearing His Word. And one of the reasons why it is so rarely addressed, I think, is that if a pastor is preaching on this subject, he may risk having the appearance of blaming his hearers for not benefiting from his messages, so he may feel too awkward to deliver a sermon on that subject. And you have many hearers, you have many of those in the pew who will probably more often than not, if they glean nothing from a sermon, they will immediately blame the preacher for this, which may be a very reasonable response. It may be an accurate response, because the preacher, whoever it may be, might be very ungifted, might be very inarticulate, maybe biblically illiterate, and maybe just a horrible preacher, even if he's a genius. There are men out there who are scholars and theologians and authors and geniuses who make, unfortunately, horrible public speakers. And I won't mention any right now, but I've seen in conferences some very famous people who are brilliant, who I have benefited much from, an incalculable amount from their books, but who were absolutely horrendous when hearing them speak. So there's all different reasons why this subject isn't addressed very often, at least to my knowledge it's not. But it definitely should not immediately, unless you already know, because of the track record, or you're very familiar with the person preaching, and you happen to be somebody that is a seasoned Christian who has proven in his life and his sanctification to have benefited much from many sermons, so therefore you're not just totally deaf to the truths being preached from a pulpit, but there are we should not be immediately necessarily accusing the preacher or the pastor for being at fault when we don't glean something from a message. I think that's a sin for most Christians. I have heard plenty of Christians gossip and backbite a pastor after a sermon, and I'm not going to say that that's where I am attending now or I am a member, but over the years I have heard that, and I've even heard that from people after I was utterly blown away and blessed in ways I can't describe, hearing a message, and then I hear people, oh, that was horrible. I'm like, excuse me? But anyway, so what compelled you, first of all, to want to address this subject?
Well, I first was introduced to the subject by an article that I read on the Internet, and I think it was back in about 2007 or something like that. I honestly, you know, I'm in my 50s. My timeline may be a little bit off at this point. But I remember it being an article by somebody from the Nine Marks organization, probably from Mark Dever's church, that talked about the fact that there is very little that is oriented towards the listeners to sermons. There are a lot of books and training and that sort of thing to those who are going to preach sermons. In fact, in Jay Adams' book on this subject, he says he's got he had 600 books on preaching in his own personal library. I think I have maybe 20 in mine, but I think now four that are specifically about listening to sermons. And I think you're right. I think that it's a difficult subject for pastors to address. I mean, it can sound like complaining about the congregation. It can sound like the pastor is doing something self-serving. I mean, after all, it's his job to preach. So, you know, why are we getting this lesson about listening? I'm a little cynical, maybe, thinking that way, but I honestly, in my role as an elder in the church, I didn't find myself preaching as often as the pastor who was doing that as his primary duty. But I did do it from time to time. But most of the time, I found myself in the spot of the listener, and I realized, you know, I really have just taken this for granted, what is going on. I mean, I go to church on Sunday, and the sermon is just part of what happens. We sing, we pray, and then there's this sermon that sits there in the middle of one or two sets of hymns, and I realized that I had never actually had any instruction about what the sermon is, about just the discipline of listening.
And when we come back from our first break, I want you to define your terms here, because obviously, unless you are in a charismatic or Pentecostal church, and perhaps even sometimes the pastors of even congregations within those movements, don't want necessarily people thinking, since I'm not supposed to be just a spectator, I'm going to raise my voice and I'm going to prophesy and I'm going to do all kinds of things during this sermon, whether or not anybody thinks I'm interrupting the preacher or not. So you could have an extreme reaction to that in some circles. That's typically not what you're going to see or hear in a Reformed church. But I want to have you define what you're discussing when you're specifically saying that sermons are not for spectators. And again, if anybody is interested in sending in a question of your own, Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back after these messages with Eric Nielsen on Sermons Are Not for Spectators.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
And mark your calendars, because the man whose voice you just heard, Pastor Jason Garwood, he will be our guest on Friday, January 22nd. Here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to discuss that book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. That's Friday, January 22nd, with Jason Garwood right here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Eric Nielsen, who is, thanks be to the mercy and grace and kindness of God, is the webmaster here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I cannot thank him enough for all he does, and I am not exaggerating to say that this program could not exist without all that Eric does. We are discussing Sermons Are Not for Spectators, glorifying God by hearing his word, And Eric, if you could, define your terms, what do you mean by the sermons are not for spectators specifically?
Okay. So the reason that I chose that particular term, sermons are not for spectators, is that I wanted to emphasize the fact that when we hear a sermon that is being preached, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about what I mean by that. What is a sermon actually? When we listen to a sermon preached in the Sunday service, we are not just passive observers. We are not an audience in the sense that you have a hard day at work, you come home, you kick off your shoes and you turn on the TV because you just need to veg out. Well, a sermon is not about that. A sermon is something that requires it requires us to listen and to pay attention and to fight against our short attention spans, our distractions. Realize that we're not an audience. We're actually there for a purpose. Charles Spurgeon made the observation. He said, "Men come to market having made up their minds what they want to sell and what they will buy, and they give their attention to how markets go and they act accordingly. But when men come into these places of worship, they do not know what they want. They come, they know not what for. Perhaps it is to see the place or hear the preacher, and they go away and they have no spiritual profit. How could they? What profit would a man make if he went there without a purpose and stayed there without looking after his own interests?" And so I think it's important that we realize when we come to church as listeners, we're there for a specific purpose.
And we do have a question from a listener, one of our most faithful listeners, loyal listeners, and also generous regular supporters financially of this program, Grady from Asheboro, North Carolina. And I have to enlarge Grady's email because the font's very small. "Greetings, Chris and Eric, a few years ago, I realized that I was in a rut when it came to congregational worship. I realized that the main reason was me. My heart wasn't prepared. I found that I must start examining myself long before I attend the services. That the purpose of the service is to worship God and glorify the true and living God. Therefore, I must be ready to repent of any sins, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, willing to obey what I hear, and go out into the world with the gospel. Do you agree with this assessment, and are there any other aspects I may be leaving out?"
Wow. Well, first of all, hello, Grady. It's good to hear from you. I was glad to get to meet you last year at the G3 conference, and I agree completely with what you just said. Absolutely, coming to the church service with a prepared heart, I think is absolutely essential. I definitely agree with you. I hope that as we go through the show, I'll be able to maybe add to what you've already said and flesh some of that out a little bit. Chris, if we don't have another question, I'll just go on to to talk about that.
Go ahead.
Sure. So I think the first thing to think about is what is our purpose in going there. And particularly in the sermon and the preaching, and Grady also already made at that point that our purpose and really the entire purpose for coming together as the body of Christ is the worship of God. And that is exactly what we see when we come to the sermon. And Paul, when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he describes Scripture. And he says this. He says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." That illustration that he's using, he says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Think of the way that we communicate as people. We breathe in the air, and then when we are ready to speak, we breathe that out, and our voice sounds. And that's what this illustration is that he's giving to Timothy when he says that all Scripture is breathed out by God. And he says about the written Scripture, and he says it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. The man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop with the Scripture being sufficient for training the man of God, the man who is the pastor, or the preacher, or the minister. At that point, in chapter 4 of Timothy, Paul gives Timothy this very serious charge. He says, "I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." Preach the word. He says, "Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." This is the command that he gives him. I mean, how much more serious can you make a charge in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom? That word preach is the word herald. He's saying herald this word that I've talked about just above, that is breathed out by God, that is God's very voice. The question is, well, what is a herald? Before we had the internet, before we had news, before we had all the various means of communications that we have now, suppose a king needed to get his message out to his subjects. The kingdom's fairly large, and the king's in one place. The king doesn't want to go all over the place and give his message. He takes that message, he writes it down, and he entrusts it to these men who are his heralds. And their job is to take the message of the king and bring it throughout the kingdom so that his subjects can hear this message, the message of the king through the herald. And the job of the herald is to deliver that message in the same way that the king delivered it to him. It's not to change it. It's not to expand it. It's to give it exactly as the king gave it to him, so that the subjects will hear the commands that their lord has given, and that they will know how exactly they need to understand and obey those things. And so when we're hearing a sermon, that is what we should be hearing. The job of the pastor and the preacher is to be that herald. He takes the Scripture, and he may expand it in the sense that he explains it to us, but he explains it to us in a way that reflects the meaning that it was originally intended to convey to the original hearers of that Scripture. As the herald, he wants to make us hear the Word of God and understand. So really, when we're hearing the message from somebody who is a faithful, believing preacher, we are hearing the Word of God. We're hearing God's teaching. We're hearing God's reproof. We're hearing God's correction. We're hearing God train us in righteousness. And so as God's subjects, as the subjects of the king, hearing from the herald, we realize that that is our purpose. We are there, we go to church every Sunday, or whenever you have your weekly service, and you should come expecting to hear from God. That is what is happening in a sermon.
Well, we have an anonymous listener. The anonymous listener says, I know that this is not a perfect science where you can give exact number of months or years, but when do you think a person should know it's time to leave the church where they are after they have been thoroughly convinced that the fact that they are not learning or benefiting at all from sermons being preached where they are is not their own fault by being a poor learner, but is indeed because the man preaching should not be doing this as a calling in his life?
That's a difficult question. First of all, leaving a church is a serious matter. I've done it once in my life, and I did it for essentially the reasons that the listener has described. The pastor that was there at that church, all of the church's confession of faith was something that my wife and I agreed with, and we had strong relationships with the people at the church. The pastor was not preaching the Word of God faithfully, was not preaching the gospel, and that was a difficult decision. But I would hesitate in encouraging anybody from leaving a church. But the fact of the matter is, at some point, though the decision might be hard, it might be the right thing to do. If you have a man who is not fulfilling that function, if you have a man who is not performing as a herald of the words of God, you really need to find as your first step to being a good listener. Find a place where that is the case. Find a man who is faithfully trying to explain what the Word of God actually meant to its original audience, and takes that word and explains it to you in a way that you can apply that to your life. I can't give a number of months or years or something like that. It's a very sobering thing to have to leave a church, and so I will pray for you in your decision.
Yeah, and obviously a key part of what the listener was saying is that he has to rule out that he is not the guilty party, that he is not perhaps so exhausted from staying up too late at night that he can't even pay attention during the sermon, or that he lets his mind wander too much because he is all wrapped up in other things in his life and in the world.
There are other things too, like I've experienced situations where the pastor might say something or might have said something in the past, and then somebody in the congregation remains angry at the pastor, and that anger will just make them unable to hear the things that the pastor is saying, or have them let them hear things in the wrong way. That's also a very difficult situation, and it would be better, if possible, to resolve that and to have forgiveness and reconciliation in Christ.
Yeah, I'm going to, God willing, have at some point within the next several weeks, Dr. Joel Beakey return to my program, because he has written a book called Pastors and Their Critics, A Guide to Coping with Criticism in the Ministry. And I think that would be a great segue to what we're talking about today. But
yeah, that is a very excellent book. I highly recommend it, and I'm so glad you're going to have Dr. Beakey on to discuss that.
Yes, well, if Dr. Beakey's listening, it may be news to him, because I said I'm going to try to get him on again. He was just recently on the program, not discussing this book. But people do have to be very careful that they are... There's all kinds of reasons why somebody might not be benefiting from a sermon, even when the pastor is superb. As I said, even in my own life, I have heard profound sermons that had me rattled to my bones, had me examining my heart, had me rejoicing to the Lord for his grace and mercy, that I have learned from as far as things that I never saw in the scriptures before. And yet, I immediately after that same message, I've heard people say, that was a horrible sermon. I'm like, excuse me? Were you at the same church? So there are all kinds of reasons, and some of it can be that people want to have their ears tickled, is it not? I mean, in fact, why don't we pick up on that when we come back from the break, the danger of wanting your ears tickled, to just wanting to hear what you want to hear, not wanting to have your conscience bother you because your sins are being denounced from the pulpit. And sometimes people have even thought that a pastor was publicly gossiping through his sermon about individuals in the congregation because they were sure that that man is talking about me personally, when that had nothing to do with the reason why the pastor was preaching on it. He was just bringing up something that was in the Word, and in the course of his expository preaching, he brought up those specific sins and so on. But anyway, we'll have you pick up on that when we come back. And if anybody else wants to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Remember, folks, this is the longer than normal break. It's in the middle of the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they are required by the FCC to localize this show to Lake City, Florida. So therefore, they have to air their own public service announcements that are local to that area, and we simultaneously, while they're doing that, we air our own globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you can, provided by as many of our advertisers as you can, so that you can more faithfully, more successfully, and more frequently patronize our advertisers whenever possible, whether that be purchasing their products, using their services, visiting their churches. But when you can't do any of those things, at least use their contact information to respond to them, to let them know that you thank them for sponsoring this show, if indeed you love the show and you want them to continue sponsoring it. And so not only do that, write down the information provided by our advertisers, but write down questions for Eric Nielsen about how sermons are not for spectators, and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Eric Nielsen after these messages from our sponsors.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Dwight of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Thank you.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, solid-ground-books.com is a vital, a premier, a primary sponsor of this program. Without their continued financial support through their advertising campaigns, I seriously doubt we could remain on the air, barring a miracle from God. But thankfully, many of you in the audience have grown to love and depend upon solid-ground-books.com because you have discovered that they are indeed the publishers of the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present. And Mike Gadosh, the founder of solid-ground-books.com, has regularly told me how thrilled he is with the very large number of listeners in our audience who are purchasing books from him. There have been a couple occasions when he began on the phone with me reading the names of people who had purchased books from him that specifically said they heard about solid-ground-books.com from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And after a while, I had to say, okay, that's enough. That gives me a great idea. Thanks. Because the list was so long. So I want to thank all of you who have been purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com. And I want to encourage all of you who have not yet done so, please go to solid-ground-books.com. For all of your gift-giving needs, with Valentine's Day coming up, with wedding anniversaries coming up, with baptisms coming up, with bereavement gifts that you need to get for those whom you love who have lost loved ones of their own, retirement gifts, birthday gifts, all kinds of reasons that you need to buy gifts, go to solid-ground-books.com. And don't forget, don't only purchase books from solid-ground-books.com for your brothers and sisters in Christ who are already saved. Please remember that the lost in your life need good, solid, biblically-based books, even more, perhaps, than your Christian friends and family. So remember to include in your gift-giving list those lost folks in your life so that the Lord, perhaps in his sovereignty, will use one or two or more of these books that you give to your lost friends and loved ones to lead them into an eternal and saving relationship with Christ. So just write it down somewhere where you'll see it every day. Put it on a refrigerator magnet, solid-ground-books.com. solid-ground-books.com. Put it on a post-it note on your laptop screen or your computer screen or anywhere else where you look frequently at solid-ground-books.com. And always remember to tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping our advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself an enormous favor because of the high quality of books that they publish at solid-ground-books.com. Before we return to Eric Nielsen, we just have a couple of announcements to make. I hope that many of you join me on Thursday, January 28th, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. here in Pennsylvania, in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, to be specific, for the upcoming Central Pennsylvania Church Leadership Conference featuring Dr. Vody Balcom, who is truly one of the most powerful preachers and teachers alive today. And he is going to be speaking against exposing and refuting one of the most dangerous new heresies that is spreading in the church, and tragically not only in churches that were false to begin with, but even some solidly reformed churches, or at least formerly solid churches that would be in the category of reformed, that has even crept into these churches and taken them over on some occasions, which is such a shocking tragedy. Well, Dr. Balcom will be speaking against critical race theory at this conference, and it makes it even more valuable to hear from Dr. Vody Balcom a criticism of this, because he happens to be a black brother in Christ, but he's also brilliant, and he's also extremely capable of handling this specific heresy, critical race theory, that he has studied and is very familiar with. So I hope you join me, and if you want to register for this conference, and by the way, everyone is welcome to register, men, women, and children, go to Facebook, and then go to, type in the search engine of Facebook, Central Pennsylvania Reformation Society. Central Pennsylvania Reformation Society, and that will be the page right there on the initial page on that Facebook site, where you can see how to register for the Central Pennsylvania Church Leadership Conference featuring Dr. Vody Balcom, Thursday, January 28th, 8 a.m. to 12 noon. I will be there manning an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth, God willing. And in fact, I'm going to be giving away free Bibles provided by the publishers of the New American Standard Bible, free brand new Bibles. So make sure you see me at my exhibitor's booth. You have to promise to hang one of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio flyers in your church. So that will be the way that you get a free Bible. But I'll see you there, God willing, Thursday, January 28th, 8 a.m. to 12 noon. Also, folks, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly in that fashion, with a credit or debit card. If you want, if you prefer snail mail, to send in a check the old-fashioned way, using the United States Postal Service, well, an address, a physical address, will appear on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. And you can mail checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to that address. If you want to advertise with me, we would love to have you launch an ad campaign, as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe here. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what we believe. So send me an email if you are in that category of wanting to promote something. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Remember, folks, I don't want anybody siphoning money away from the amount that you are accustomed to giving to your own church where you are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't curse your own church financially by blessing us financially. And also, if you are really struggling to survive, please don't put your family in further financial peril or jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio quite just yet. Those two things are commands of Scripture, to provide for your church and provide for your family. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of Scripture, but if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and family, and you love the show and you don't want us to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Do it frequently and donate generously as you can. Use some of your recreational money. Use some of the money that you use or formerly used before the coronavirus pandemic hysteria to go to your favorite sporting events. Some of you can't go to restaurants anymore. Some can, but some can't. Some of you can't go to movie theaters anymore. Some of you can't go to concerts anymore. Well, use some of that money to help bless us, if indeed you love the show. IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, last but not least, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, and I may be able to help you find a church near where you live or where you are visiting on vacation or just visiting for some other reason. I want to give a shout out to our listener in Australia who visits regularly Ukraine because he has a ministry to the youth in Kiev. And I found a church for him, a good, solid, Bible-believing, Reformed Baptistic congregation there in Kiev, because a listener in Iron Sharpens Iron Radio lives in Kiev. And in fact, he is the one that first posted my parody of Martin Luther, Party Hardy Marty and the Protesters. Some of you who have heard that song, this Ukrainian brother posted that on Facebook before I even knew or had any idea who he was. Not on Facebook, I'm sorry. He posted it on YouTube before I even know who he was. But anyway, so if you are in that position where you don't have a church home where you live or where you're going on vacation, or if you have a loved one who doesn't have a good solid church home, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you. I've helped many people all over the globe find churches sometimes within minutes from where they live that they didn't even know existed or they didn't know were biblically sound. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Eric Nielsen on "Sermons Are Not for Spectators." That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as you may remember, Eric, before the break, I was starting to say one of the reasons that we have to rule out before blaming the pastor of the church where you may be a member for being inadequate in his preaching and teaching, got to rule out that one of the ways it could be the hearer's fault is that they want to have their ears tickled. There are people that do not ever want to hear about sin and repentance of sin and the warnings of hell. They don't want to hear about God's wrath. They don't want to hear about God's chastisement of his children. They don't want to hear how we can bring trials upon ourselves through our disobedience, although that's not always the reason why Christians obviously go through trials. Some of the finest and most godly and seasoned Christians go through the worst of trials and have historically done so even to the point of torture and death. But there are reasons that sometimes we bring these things into our own lives and upon ourselves. And I'm sure that quite a number, if not nearly everyone, that fills those giant stadiums where Joel Osteen preaches, I'm sure those folks are not going to want to hear true biblically sound sermons that are a clarion call to repent and believe and that contain warnings of damnation and so on. So if you could pick up where I left off there on that.
Sure. I mean, the biggest obstacle to being able to hear sermons and hear the Word of God is just the fact that somebody might not actually be regenerate. Somebody might not actually be saved. And Paul says in Romans, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's very possible that if you're in the hearing of this this interview and you are not interested in hearing sermons at all, you want to leave, you don't enjoy. I'm not sure anybody enjoys hearing about the wrath of God, but you don't enjoy hearing about how Jesus Christ has died on the cross, that he's paid the penalty for the sins of those who believe, that God raised him again from the dead. You need to repent. You need to turn to Christ and turn from your sin and believe in Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. If God grants you that faith, if you are regenerated, if he removes the heart of stone and replaces it with the heart of flesh, then that will make the biggest difference in your being able to hear and listen to sermons. The other thing you mentioned is people not enduring sound teaching. Paul gives that warning right after he gives the commission to Timothy to be a herald, to herald the word. He says, do this with complete patience and teaching, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. There is a danger if something that the pastor says offends you, and it is because there is sin in your life. You mentioned before the break individuals who the pastor used a particular illustration or mentioned a particular sin, and they were offended because they thought the pastor was gossiping about their particular situation. And the matter of fact, he wasn't. He was just faithfully heralding the word of God or bringing out some illustration that matched their situation.
And by the way, I just want to let our listeners know that I'm not making that up, that happens if they have not experienced that in their own midst or even in their own heart and mind. I can still remember vividly when I was a fairly new Christian. I wasn't that new of a Christian because I was already at least dating my late wife. I may have been married, but one of her friends was visiting the church where I was a member. And right in the middle of the sermon, she got up and she walked real fast outside of the building. And I actually got up and followed her into the parking lot. And I said, is everything okay? And she said, your pastor is talking about me in public and gossiping about my personal life, and I don't like it at all. And I said to her, I don't even think my pastor knows you that well. That has nothing to do with why he's saying these things. It's a part of the scripture he's exegeting. He has to warn about sins, and just so happens the Holy Spirit might be talking to you because your specific issues were being mentioned, but she wouldn't have any of it. She was convinced he was gossiping from the pulpit, and she drove away. But anyway, sorry about that.
But that's exactly what Paul is warning about here. I mean, not enduring sound teaching, having itching ears, accumulating for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. If you experience the pastor preaching against your sin, and that's likely to happen for all of us. We're all, even as believers, we are sinners, and so God is going to address our sin. And there's going to be some point at which we are offended. Well, the thing to do at that point is to recognize our sin before God and endure that sound teaching, to repent, not to turn away, not to wander off into myths because we refuse to listen to the word of our King.
Well, do you have any other practical advice and counsel that you, as someone who has been an elder in a church for many years and may become one again as you move on, because I know that your previous church not so long ago shut its doors where you were an elder, not because of you, but as you pursue your walk with Christ in the future, that perhaps that will be a calling of yours again. But having that experience, what other counsel can you give our listeners about how to make sure that not only their lack of benefiting from a sermon is not their own problem, but also how to make sure that they absorb and glean the most benefit from a message when we are sitting there in the pew and listening to the Word of God opened and proclaimed?
Sure. I think there are a number of things that we can do. I mentioned earlier not treating the sermon as if we were an audience. Ezekiel talks about this. God is talking to Ezekiel, and he says in Ezekiel 33, 30 through 32, "As for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. And they come to you as people, come, and they sit before you as my people. And they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act. Their heart is set on their gain. And behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it." And this is quite the condemnation of this the people of Israel, who evidently Ezekiel was enjoyable to listen to. He was articulate. He was entertaining. I mean, we know a number of things that the Lord commanded Ezekiel to do that were odd, but surely would have attracted an audience. And so they're saying, well, let's go entertain ourselves by hearing the word of the Lord, but yet they're not hearing it with worship. And what I mean by that is that there is a way that you can listen to preaching such that it is just entertainment. You're not accepting it in order to worship God. And the word worship is actually a contraction, right? It comes from the word worth and the word ship, which is a suffix that essentially means worthiness. It means ascribing worth to something. So the way that we listen to the sermon and the way that we respond to what we've heard, it really demonstrates the worth. It demonstrates the worth that we put on the words that we have heard, and it shows the value that we place on the one who has spoken those words. So if you've got a man who's preaching, he's acting as a faithful messenger, he's a faithful herald, he's delivering us a message that's ultimately from our King, the question is then what worth are we placing? What worth are we placing on God's word to us? And what worth are we placing on God himself?
Amen. We have to view and we have to realize that when we are in that church building or wherever we are, it might be an outdoor service or somebody's home, but wherever we are hearing the word proclaimed, we have to remember this is worship. And our mutual dear friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, perhaps you've heard him say this as well, but I've heard him on several occasions, even when he's been a visitor at churches speaking, that one of the things that he hates to hear the most right before he gets up to speak is to hear the pastor of that church or the music leader or whoever happens to be making the announcements and the introductions say, now that we've concluded the first portion of worship in the service today, we are going to have Dr. James R. White come up and speak. And the worship hasn't concluded. When the person gets up to speak, when the preacher, the teacher, the guest speaker gets up to speak, that is perhaps the most important part of the entire worship service and the most important aspect of worship, is it not?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you think about the rest of the service, I love music, and I love hymns, and I love some of the new praise songs that have been written that have solid doctrine in them, and that's great. We're declaring God's worth in song, but then it comes to the sermon. When we're hearing the sermon, that's actually the point at which we are hearing hearing God's words to us. That's the point that we want to be the pinnacle of our worship, the point in time when we hear from God, when we learn from Him, when we try to understand and apply His words to our lives, so that we can know our King, so that we can obey what He desires. Really listening to the sermon is the beginning of that worship.
And we have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who asks, obviously there are people who are hearing things preached and taught from a pulpit that they are not learning from or refuse to learn from because they have come to view what they are hearing as not being biblically sound. Isn't that, though, a tricky situation? Because on the one hand, people should be Berean and making sure that the preacher or teacher is truly proclaiming the word of God and that he is not inventing things or guilty of eisegesis. But at the same time, a person may be thinking that they are hearing falsehood because they themselves, prior to getting to this specific church where they are now, have been wrongly taught and perhaps even brainwashed into believing things that aren't true. How can these folks who are disappointed or disgruntled or angry about what they are hearing make sure that it is not their own fault due to their own heresy or aberrant understanding of the Bible?
That is a really good question. I think one suggestion that I would have for somebody in that position is to go ahead and take notes on the sermon. And as you take notes on the sermon, think about the things that you can't agree with, the things that are clearly being taught from the scriptures that you know are God's word. And then think about the things that you believe are not correct. And take those questions with a genuine questioning heart to the pastor and give him the opportunity to work with you through those things. Now, you'll learn some things, I think, about the pastor in that way. You'll learn what his character is and the way that he responds to you as he answers those things. You'll also have a chance to maybe get a more in-depth explanation about why he has said something that he has said. Sometimes in the sermon there's just not time to explain every detail as you go through. As when you preach a passage, you have to make decisions about what things to highlight and what details you may need to leave out for time or because the one theme really needs to be emphasized above some others. But yes, give the pastor that opportunity to answer those questions, and I think that will. That will hopefully solve some things. In your personal life, you probably want to continue to become familiar with the scriptures yourself. Learn your Bible from front to back. Make daily reading a part of your life if it's not already. And if you know the passage that the pastor is going to be preaching on, prepare yourself ahead of time and start to read that so that you will maybe have questions even before the service that you'll be able to have answered as the sermon is given.
And Bobby in Hartsdale, New York says, don't we have to confront our pastors or the preachers or teachers that we believe are failing us in humility, grace, and love privately if we are going through this period where we just do not believe we are benefiting from what they are preaching?
I would say absolutely. Yeah, you definitely, you don't want to be somebody who stirs up trouble in your church, somebody who is a person who stirs up dissension. You also don't want to be a person who simply misunderstands what the pastor is saying and then make bad decisions on that basis. Yeah, those are definitely very good things to think about and to pray about yourself as you come to your pastor in that spirit of humility.
That goes with everything in life when we are
absolutely.
When we believe that we are being sinned against, or when somebody is doing something that's hurting our feelings, or whatever the case is, we have to man up or woman up and do the biblical thing, as is spelled out in the Gospel of Matthew and other places. We have to privately and graciously and with humility bring these things to the attentions of people. And sometimes it may be a complete misunderstanding on our part when we are hurt or believe we're being sinned against. Sometimes it may be because of the fact that, I mean, in this day of texting and Twitter and email, when you can't hear a person's emotion or, you know, see a facial expression, obviously this would be different from a sermon. But I'm just saying that this is one of the reasons why many people get into conflicts and arguments and break up friendships, because they just totally misunderstand each other, and we have to be able to confront them in love.
Yeah, email is an absolutely horrible means of resolving conflict. You can set up a meeting over email, but try to resolve your differences over email. Definitely meet person to person.
Well, we have to go to our final break right now, and it's going to be much briefer than the other breaks. If you want to send in a question, please do it quickly before we run out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back with Eric Nielsen after these messages from our sponsors, so don't go away. Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gadi earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gadi so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And why not thank the Historical Bible Society for renewing their advertising contract with us by donating $35 or more to the Historical Bible Society, which is a not-for-profit organization. You will in turn receive as a gift a beautiful replica, a print taken directly from the first edition of the 1611 King James Bible, of the genealogies of Jesus. They have turned this into a very large book dimension-wise. It's a 44-page book, but it's large dimension-wise. It's over 8.5 by 11, and I have to still measure that. But it's a gorgeous 44-page book that looks like it's printed on parchment paper, and the artwork and the prints are directly from the first edition King James Bible of 1611. You will get that for free. It's an excellent way to be an icebreaker with folks to bring up the gospel, to bring up why the genealogy of Jesus is very crucial to the gospel message. Have it on your coffee table, etc. When you have company over, and if they pick it up and start thumbing through it, you could start telling them why it is so important that we know the genealogy of Jesus. So that's historicalbiblesociety.org, historicalbiblesociety.org, and make sure you tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnes at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with Eric Nielsen, and Eric, if you could, I want to make sure that you let our listeners know all that you would have them know, at least all that we have time left for you to tell them, that is most important in regard to sermons are not for spectators.
All right. Well, I could probably fill up another hour or so with a discussion about practical suggestions for how to prepare for the sermon, what to do.
We could have you back to do that, by the way.
Yeah, we might go ahead and do that. I think I will go ahead and suggest a couple of things, though, that would be very helpful for people as they look to preparing themselves for the sermon sermons upcoming before we get together and do that again. The two things that I think are probably the most important to prepare yourself for the sermon, first is prayer. And by prayer, I mean praying for the pastor, praying for his study. It takes probably about 20 or more hours to prepare a good sermon, and most pastors are busy doing other things as well during the week. Pray for his boldness in proclaiming the truths that he has to proclaim. Pray for yourself. Confess your sins. And the other thing that that is very helpful, that I have found particularly helpful in my own life, if you know what the passage is ahead of time, spend time with it. Read it at least once before the service. Read it with your family. Knowing the passage ahead of time it prepares you to ask questions. It makes it easier for the pastor to sort of hammer home the message that God has for you. Those two are the main ways that I would suggest that somebody could put into practice immediately.
And of course, in addition to that, I'm assuming you would agree that it'd be wise for people to have an excellent commentary that has stood the test of time, like Matthew Henry's commentaries, which people can, when they have their Bibles open, reading that portion of Scripture ahead of time that the text will be based on, or that the sermon will be based on, for them to go through a good commentary also to see what the great oracles of God from the past, the great men of God like Matthew Henry, have believed these passages mean. And of course, they are not God-breathed, they are not inerrant and infallible, but it is a good guide to have not only your current day teachers and preachers from your own church, but to have these great men of God that the church has been blessed with centuries ago.
Yeah, that's very much the case, and I can think some pastors might be a little uncomfortable with it. You know, I've got this message, and reading this commentary is going to steal my thunder. I guess a good reminder is that all thunder is God's thunder, and having that commentary ahead of time will actually just make things easier for your people to understand.
And you've got about 2 minutes. Any other last words that you care to share, so that our listeners can prepare for this Sunday's message that they're about to hear?
Well, I mentioned I had 4 books that I had read. All 4 of these books are still in print, and so I'll just quickly list them off. The first is The Family at Church, again by Joel Beakey. Excellent book, especially if you want to teach your family how to listen to sermons. Expository Listening is a book by Ken Ramey, that is a book that is probably the most recent and has lots of helpful suggestions. A very small booklet is Listen Up by Christopher Ash. And of course, Solid Ground Christian Books is the publisher of Jay Adams' book, Be Careful How You Listen, How to Get the Most Out of a Sermon. And those books would be great for a pastor to include in your church's library or use to disciple people in the skill of listening.
Well, remember, solid-ground-books.com, and also for the other books listed by Eric, go to cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. If they do not have the book already in stock, and the odds are they do, but if they don't, they will order it for you. That's cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Thank you so much, Eric, and we must make a pledge that we will never wait 12 years to have you back on the show. I've thoroughly enjoyed interviewing you, and we've got to have you back on a lot more regularly, and I look forward to our next visit with you, and in fact, we could set something up right away when we go off the air.
All right. Well, thanks, Chris.
I want to thank everybody for listening today. I want you to all have a very safe and healthy and blessed weekend and Christ-honoring Lord's Day. And I hope you all remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.